Hello, this is Alan Watt here, standing in for Darren. He's taking his wife out tonight for the Valentine's dinner, and he phoned me up this evening to stand in. There's been no music because I didn't know that Darren plays it generally. I thought it was automatically coming on the radio. And today is the 14th of February in 2006. And I had no major topic to talk about today, except perhaps to put some of the tremendous finger pointing that goes on between who's behind this move towards the Great Society, as they call it, that is being created gradually, done through the last many centuries, actually. Who's behind this? And who's right and who's wrong when it comes to all the finger pointing between different groups? And the thing is, if you check into the material, the written materials of every group, and follow what they say, and the documentation that they have, you can check out yourself, and you say, my God, they're all right. Every one of these sides, with their documentation, tends to make you think they're right. Well, how can they all be right and the facts do all check out? You'll find characters on every side of this affair who did make certain statements, who did make policies, who did decide to make major moves within the world, and it's all well documented. And yet they're all doing it, and it isn't until you understand the big picture. You have to get above the world and look down here to see the big picture, to understand that all of these groups at the top are led by the same high occult society. The top members know each other. They're all brothers, high brothers. The idea of a pyramid that appears in so many of their emblems is that if you cannot see, if you're on one side of a pyramid, how many other sides there are. You can't see them. Only the guy at the top on the capstone can look down on all sides. And then remember, there's another side which you don't see, which is the base. So there's actually five sides to the pyramid. So only the guy at the top knows all the secrets. And masonry is a degreed system where every degree means that you cannot tell the secrets of your new degree. And the new truths, as they call them, new truths, because they keep changing the truth as you go up, to the guy beneath you. So it's a need-to-know basis. And what you have behind all of this is an ancient religion, which really has its basis, apart from an occultic sense, perhaps even a demonic sense, you might say. It has its basis on evolution. And that's why evolution has been pushed so mightily, openly, since Darwin's day. But this has always been their goal, that ultimately man would evolve. They call it the Great Leap Forward. That's the term which they used before World War II in many of their own publications, Masonic publications. The Great Leap Forward. But then they didn't see how it would happen, you see. And since nothing, as far as we can tell, evolves by itself in nature, they meant that man, because this is their religion, and they count themselves, by the way, as man. Not everyone is man. There's man, and then there's the its, you see. And they believe that through their own will and intellect, by using science, they will self-become a new creation, a god, you might say, self-becoming god. And this symbol has been used from ancient times, of the god that is born out of the head of Zeus, self-willed, and born without the aid of any god. This is what it means. And they call it becoming. Many terms for the same thing. And so, back in the 1800s, many of the writers who were picked by the fledgling Royal Institute of International Affairs, which is the British version and Commonwealth version of the CFR, paid writers to go out into the world and write novels and about the coming system. And this is called predictive programming through fiction. And it works very, very successfully, actually more successfully than straight, dry, boring non-fiction books, because no one, when you're watching a movie or reading a book of fiction, you censor part of the mind that your brain is down. And when that happens, you're being downloaded, really. You're being led along a path using emotion, and that's emotive imprinting, they call it. And through emotion, it can make you desire or want or feel good towards or against anything through a fictional story. And you've been shown, in a sense, the future that they're going to bring to you. And once the movie or the book's finished, you think you've put it away and that's that. But no, you've been familiarized now with the possibility of this particular story or sci-fi or whatever. And so when you see it manifest in your own life and the beginnings of the manifestation, because it's familiar to you, you think, well, I guess that's just the natural way we're evolving this way. Society is just evolving, but nothing could be further from the truth. History, as it's written and presented in most school books, seems to be simply a conglomerate of guys scattered across the planet who suddenly have too many hormones and decide to go off with armies and become an emperor by slaughtering other people. And that's further from the truth too. Nothing could be more far from the truth. From 4,500 BC at least, there's been this move, stage by stage, of what they call bringing civilization. Now they call it democracy, but it's the same thing. A system of money, debt, standing armies, a society where experts run everything. They've been bringing this gradually forward down through the centuries up to the present, and with every area they take over, they call it an expanded empire. So wars help to bring an expanded empire, which destroys existing cultures and standardizes the people into the one culture. So they're standardizing down through the centuries until we get to the stage today where the United States of America, which was created and founded to bring in the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the New World Order, is finishing off its job. And that was referred to by all the founding fathers as manifest destiny. And many of the old books by the founding fathers and some of the first generation after them, they refer to this all the time in the publications as manifest destiny. It was never fully explained, obviously, to the public, but now we're seeing what it is. Not only are we seeing it, we're having it explained to us by people like Brzezinski. You'll see it in the New American Century Club, the little club formed by Wolfowitz and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Bush and so on before 9/11 happened, where they listed the coming wars, which they would have to do, they said, to maintain control of the world, beginning with Afghanistan, next into Iraq, then in Iran, then Syria. They published this first in the early 90s, and it's available to the public. And then they republished it and updated it in 98. And lo and behold, in 2001, we find that they have the very thing they needed to stimulate the American people, as Brzezinski said in his book, published in 97, The Grand Chessboard. We will need something of a Pearl Harbor event to motivate the American public behind us for the war. Now, how many people can make wish lists like this for Santa Claus, or win the lotto, just knowing you're going to win it? These guys write what they're going to do. An event happens right on cue when they need it, 10 years exactly to the date where George Bush Sr. talked about the coming New World Order, the big idea, the Masonic term, the big idea. You see? That was in September the 11th, 1990, and repeated in 91. So, I don't need to go over and over the events of 9/11 to convince myself what happened here. You have to carry on from there and see what's evolved since then, because the push is now on for the U.S. to fulfill its supposed manifest destiny, that which it was created to do. It should also be understood that prior to America having the revolution, Britain and other countries, France and some of the Germanic and Prussian countries, had their own international meetings to discuss who would bring in the system. And they realized that none of them could be chosen because every one of them was known by the rest of the world as an empire builder and a plunderer, basically. So they had to create a new shining knight that claimed, I'm different, I'm honest, and I'm all for the people, you see. And so the U.S. was born. And it was born by a bunch of Masons who got inside a big building, locked the doors, had guards on the doors to keep the profane, you know, the masses out, and came out with this draft, which has been waved and waved and waved ever since, to justify everything under the sun, from persecuting the average American today to going off to foreign wars yesterday. It's the same thing. It goes both ways. And when they said this is for our posterity, written in the bill, they're talking about their own offspring. Their own offspring, you see. The Masons' offspring. The same families. So we're living under a very old plan, an ancient plan, which believes in evolution. And evolution to them goes back to the mystery religions of ancient times, where they studied nature. And they said, you cannot have an action without an equal and opposite reaction. A law of science. And they studied the seasons, and used to say that summer battled winter, and spring would battle fall, and so on. In other words, to get change, which always comes, a law of nature is change in the seasons in nature, then you must create sides to get the changes to occur. In a human society, that means perpetual, ongoing war and conflict. And from the conflict, you get the resolution, and that starts right back again at your thesis. You create an opposition to it, it's antithesis, and then you have another outcome, synthesis, and it repeats itself from the synthesis back to the new thesis, and on it goes. This was taught widely in all the communist schools in the Soviet Union, and Lenin and many other communists wrote copiously on this very technique. But it isn't a communist thing. They used it. It's everybody's thing. All the Masons use it in every country. The Jesuits use it because they're part of a Freemasonry. Isis with a thousand faces. That's what they used to call it in Babylon. It was the same church with a thousand faces. And even then it was a mystery because people had a hard time pointing out who was behind things. It's that priesthood. No, it's the priests over there. No, it's those ones down south. It's the same today. The guys who lead these people at the top of every group are the same brotherhood. And they know the agenda. The ones down below in the lower orders have had real wars between themselves down through the ages, because there must be real bloody conflict to convince the people. They must have conflict. And that's what they call the law of nature, which through struggle, and Hitler used the same term, Mein Kampf, my struggle, because he believed in it too. And I'm sure he was put there too by the same oligarchy to do his bit. Through struggle, they would evolve into Superman. And that's the key to it, is Superman. So we find with the founders of the Fabian Society, with the webs, and H.G. Wells and Lord Bertrand Russell and many of the elite, because the elite created the so-called far left-wing Fabian Society, and it was given a British royal charter to exist. So you find that these people actually, when they were quizzed about the future for the working man, are you for the working man? Is that what this society is for? Mr. Webb piped up along with Beatrice. Her name was Beatrice Potter, by the way, her maiden name. And said, oh goodness, no. He says, the masses can't decide for themselves. He says, the society we envisage is a world to be run by scientific experts. And different categories of scientific experts to do with school and psychology and so on, you see. So that's the true meaning of the far left wing. It's nothing to do with the working person any more than communism had to do with the average peasant in Russia. At the end of the Soviet system, comparative standards of living of the bureaucracies living in the Soviet bloc were on equal par with the bureaucracies of Britain and America. So much for the working man. So the United States, as I say, was born for this manifest destiny. One of their own masons who was a spokesman for pushing this agenda was Manly Palmer Hall. And he put a book out called America's Secret Destiny, a Masonic book. And he outlined the agenda, same thing again. This is why America is born. That's why you've got the Washington Phallus there. It's an Egyptian obelisk, the first brand new one to be built on that scale to raise Washington up to godhood. That's what that is for. He was raised to godhood by the Masons. For his work, his great work. Whereas Britain imported one of the ones from Heliopolis in Egypt and put it in front of all their banks, you see. And there's one in the park in New York from Egypt. And there's one in front of the Parliament of France imported from Egypt. Then there's the other one in front of the Pope's window in St. Peter's Square. From Egypt, brought by Constantine's son into the circus, and then moved around the 1500s to the Vatican Square. So we're looking at a religion that uses the same symbols down through the eons. It manages every traditional religion. It makes sure that the top guys who run religions, and that's the beauty of organization, there's always a tiered structure of control, so it's easy to put your own men at the top and keep control, you see. That's why organized anything is rather dangerous. And so they give you your passive religion to keep you as sheep, dull, stupid, and munching on the grass, and obeying, and not thinking. Well, they pretend they're the good shepherds and they're managing everything. They're the scientific elite. They are the experts. That's what they're there for. Don't have to worry about anything. If the news comes on, they'll tell me all I need to know. And they will tell you all you need to know. The media is one of the most important arms of government. We have a media that will not even mention the spraying in the skies that's happening every day across a good part of the planet. If they won't tell you that, if they won't talk about it, why on earth would you expect them to tell you the truth about anything? So, H.G. Wells, getting back to this predictive programming in the novels that they were paid to write and put into our minds as a sort of natural evolution to come, you see. H.G. Wells wrote a book... And he used a preface of the speech that he gave to the Royal Institute of International Affairs in 1936, and he called this in his lecture the concept of a world encyclopedia. If you remember, in the French Revolution, the High Masons who took over called themselves the Encyclopedists. So here's Wells in 1936 talking about the concept of a world encyclopedia. At the first realization of the ineffectiveness of our best thought and knowledge struck only for a few people, like Mr. Maynard Keynes, for example, it is science and not men of science that we want to enlighten and animate in our politics and rule the world, and rule the world, and rule the world. That's for the hard of hearing. Wells basically reiterated the doctrine of scientism, as they call it, in his speech. To continue, I want to suggest that something, a new social organization, a new institution, which for a time I shall call World Encyclopedia, this World Encyclopedia would be the mental background of every intelligent man in the world. Such an encyclopedia would play the role of an undogmatic Bible to the world culture. It would do just what our scattered and disorientated intellectual organizations of today fall short of doing. It would hold the world together mentally. Now remember that. It will hold the world together mentally. It would compel men to come to terms with one another. Compel men. That means force, you see, to come together. It is a superior university I'm thinking of. A world brain. A world brain. I wonder if anyone's having pictures in their minds right now of what that could mean. He said, a world brain, no less. Ultimately, if our dream is realized, it must exert a very great influence upon everyone who controls administration, makes wars, directs mass behavior, feeds, moves, starves, and kills populations. Ultimately, if our dream is realized, it must exert a very great influence upon everyone who controls administration, makes wars, directs mass behavior, feeds, moves, starves, and kills populations. You see how such an encyclopedic organization could spread like a nervous network. Got little pictures in your head now. Nervous network, a sort of web, perhaps. A system of mental control about the globe, knitting all the intellectual workers of the world through a common interest and cooperating unity and a growing sense of their own dignity, and forming without pressure or propaganda, directing without tyranny. So that's from H.G. Wells, his presentation to the Royal Institute of International Affairs, 1936. Now, what does he mean by a world encyclopedia? And I'm sure if I had a second line, I'd have callers, I'd hope I'd have callers saying, well, are they talking about computers here, perhaps? Or maybe supercomputers, maybe a web, as he calls it, a nervous system. So, if we add this statement, and remember, we're living in the past. Level one reality is antique. All technology that we have is antique at this level. Whatever we're given as the latest is obsolete at the top. Now here's from journalist Nathan Cochran. And this comes actually from, he has a website, I believe. I got it from a book, actually. And he's got a long website, if I can find it, if anyone wants to check it. It's called www.smh.com.gu/articles/2002/07/20/102689318158html, and that was posted July 23rd, 2002. The article was called U.S. Reports Tell of Brave New World. by Nathan Cochran. And here it is. A draft government report says we will alter human evolution within 20 years by combining what we know of nanotechnology, biotechnology, integrated technology, and cognitive sciences. The 405-page report, sponsored by the U.S. National Science Foundation and Commerce Department, Converging Technologies for Improving Human Performance, calls for a broad-based research program to improve human performance, leading to, listen to this, telepathy. They're talking about having a chip in your brain, if you haven't caught on, machine-to-human communications, amplified personal sensory devices, and enhanced intellectual capacity. That's from Cochrane's report, page 1, 2002. To carry on with the second part of the same article, people may download their consciousnesses into computers or other bodies, even on the other side of the solar system, or participate in a giant hive mind. A giant hive mind. Is that the Borg, perhaps? A network of intelligences connected through ultra-fast communications networks, with knowledge no longer encapsulated in individuals, the distinction between individuals and the entirety of humanity would blur. The distinction between individuals and the entirety of humanity would blur, the report says. Think Vulcan mind meld. Would we perhaps become more of a hive mind, an enormous single intelligent entity? That report that he gave out finishes with, it says, the report says the abilities are within our grasp, but will require an intense public relations effort to prepare key organizations and societal activities for the changes made possibly by converging technologies, and to counter concern over ethical, legal, and moral issues. Now listen to that again. To counter concern over ethical, legal, and moral issues. You see, they've already got the propaganda techniques working already since that meeting, through movies, through cartoons even, to make this a positive thing to go for. Education should be overhauled down to the primary school level to bridge curriculum gaps between disparate subject areas. So you're looking at the half time, and we won't have music tonight, but you're listening to Alan Watt on Sweet Liberty, standing in for Darren, who's off tonight. And I'm reading some articles here about the scientific dictatorship, basically, which we're under today, which is actually an ancient religion simply coming into manifestation as they see their end goal in sight. Now, the Zbigniew Brzezinski, who has been an advisor to I don't know how many presidents, he was there even with Carter, and he's still there, and he's on television quite regularly. His area seems to be mind control and national security. Hello, this is Alan here again. I'm back on the air, and of course there's no one to play the music tonight because Darren's gone for the night. So I'll continue with Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was President Carter's national security advisor, and he's still advising the present bunch along with Kissinger and so on. He wrote a book in 1997 which sort of backed up the New American Century publication of their agenda, and he said in this book, The Grand Chessboard, the last decade of the 20th century has witnessed a tectonic shift in world affairs. For the first time ever, a non-Eurasian power has emerged not only as a key arbiter of Eurasian power relations, but also as the world's paramount. The defeat and collapse of the Soviet Union was the final step in the rapid ascendance of a Western Hemisphere power, the United States, as the sole, and indeed, the first truly global power. Hello?
Oh, yes. This is Jeff Plains from Chelsea, Massachusetts. How's it going?
I can barely hear you. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Now, as far as global politics is concerned, what the United States has to be sovereign again is to eliminate our treaties as far as NAFTA, GATT, and the FTAA, which is coming up. And all these treaties, when we do that, we can truly become a sovereign country again. But if we don't, then we'll be, like you said, a globalist power.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple.
Okay. If you hang up, I'll reply. Yeah.
What?
If you can hang up now, I'll reply.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll hang up.
Okay. Yes. Well. That really wouldn't make much of a difference, to be honest, because, see, everything which you think is normal in your life has been planned that way. It didn't evolve that way, including the founding of the United States in the first place. And all the things that you hold near and dear, with the flags and the songs and all the usual stuff, is actually called culture creation, which you can read about. It's actually a science. You can read about it as far back as Plato, who wrote about it and how they create cultures for the people. Culture never comes from the grassroots. It comes from the top down. It's authorized to be there, you see. Anything. Control freaks who have total control never allow anything to come up truly from the grassroots and survive, because something outside of their plan, no matter how innocent it may be, could have such unforeseen ripple effects, it could cause chaos to them. So the U.S. did not become... what stage of America would you want to go back to? When FDR ruled with his version of the bank and the debt system, would you want to go back to the Depression? Would you want to go back to the two or three depressions they had in the 1800s when Morgan and all a bunch got together and sank the economy and looted all the pensions three times in 10 years? What part of America do you want to go back to? You see, it's always been run by the same people, the robber barons. They're pirates. That's their symbol, the skull and bones. That's the symbol of masonry. So you can never go back to something which was artificial to begin with. Right after you got the Constitution and the hoorays, they had the Treaty of Paris. Well, go and check into that and see what the U.S. signed away. Look at the first law they passed, supposedly to fight taxation from Britain. They passed the whiskey laws and then got a little army up to go and slaughter all the guys who were making their whiskey. It's the same system. Under a new face. Better disguise, but the same system. So you can't go back. There's a movie called Hollywoodism. It's put out by Hollywood producers, and it's subtitled How We Created American Culture. Get a hold of it. And get it from the horse's mouth. It's been the same in every country. The same technique has been used for thousands of years, well documented on how it's done by Plato. So I'll get back to Zbigniew Brzezinski. He talks about this global superpower, the first truly global power. See, the rest of them they called the Roman Empire, etc., which was a huge empire, but in a sense it wasn't right around the whole world. This one here is to be around the whole world, the standardization of one system. And if you remember the symbols of knights, because the high knights are the guys who are in charge of this, and all sides, and they have a flag which they call a standard, and they plant the standard in a field before the battle, and when they win a battle, then that standard, that symbol of the standard, is spread over the conquered land. They standardize everything and everywhere they go. Standardization. That's it, the one system. And this has been going on for so long. So Brzezinski knew it was coming. He was in on the planning of this. And he also basically said it could only be held together by a global scientific dictatorship, a world of experts, elite experts, to run the people. If we fall back to Charles Galton Darwin's book, The Physicist, the grandson of Charles Darwin, who wrote the book The Next Million Years in 1954 or 6, he said the same thing there, that the elite themselves will not alter themselves physically. Meaning they won't take a chip, you see, or have the nasty inoculations and eat the modified food and so on. He said they must retain their survival capabilities because the elite will be steering the ship of Earth. The masses won't need theirs because the state will be making all their decisions for them. So keep that in mind when you read what they talk about, this universal consciousness, this telepathic hive mind which they talk about. This is the same Rosicrucian term that was used by John Dee and Francis Bacon in the 1500s. The universal mind, the one, we'll all be one. Now think of the Borg from the Star Trek series, and it's exactly the same. The Borg ship is called the Hive. All of the cyborgs, part human, part machine, are connected with little chips to a central computer in the ship, the Hive, and they hear each other's whispers going through. And they show you right there. They show you when some are caught and captured and asked about themselves, they couldn't react as an individual. They said we. They always referred to themselves as we. Because you cannot be an individual and be totally connected at the same time. And so this particular article from Cochrane was held in Loyola University, and there was 600 pages came out at the university level, and they took 250 pages away for the public. However, I've got a copy of the original, and they said the chip is ready to go. All we must do is convince the public to accept it. This will be done, they continue. This will be done by promotion through movies, science fiction and cartoons, even taught in kindergarten is a wonderful thing to come, and school. And going through all of these pages, 600 pages of all these top scientists, and Newt Gingrich led off the meeting, by the way, paid for by your tax money, the scientists said that they'll promote it, making it a desirable thing for children. Children will want what they think are superpowers, like their comic characters, their cartoon characters, or Spider-Man, or whatever. They'll think it's going to give them special powers, so that's how they're going to promote it to them. However, that same meeting said that supercomputers, are already set up in every region, that's the term they'll love to use, region, across the United States and Canada. And when everyone has the chip, the real function will kick in, and literally there will be no more individuality. They said it would be impossible for anyone to even perceive of themselves as a distinct, separate, I individual. So the card, of course, the identification card, which is coming 2007, it's already being given out at the border for at the moment for $2. So if you rush now, you get it at a deal of $2, you see. This is how they're promoting it for frequent cross-border shoppers. And it has an active ID chip in it. It has your iris scan, it has your DNA sample and your code in there. It has a digital photograph of you. This has your medical history. It's to be used the same way, because it's the same as the British card, and if admitted there, it will eventually be your sole bank and credit card for the cashless society. So once people accept that, and I can't see any reason why they won't, because there's enough people rushing to get the buy now at $2 while you can, five days won't last. There's enough of them lining up like idiots right now. So I can't see them be much of a problem for most people taking it. The masses have never really been a problem for the elite to run the world. The reason for the brain chip really isn't for the masses. They're not worried about them so much. This is an attack on the individual thinker. That's who they must get. That's their Achilles heel. They're terrified of the individual thinker. So everyone's going to get chipped by law. And once the card is out there and everyone has one, you'll see such a spate of robberies and muggings to get the card. It'll go on for a year or two at the most, till we're sick of hearing it night after night on the media. And lo and behold, they'll come forward and say, well, we've got the solution right here. And it's called a chip, by the way, because that's the Masonic term, as they go round the block, as they call it, the big ashlar, the little altar in the middle. It's a chip off the old block. That's the little sarcastic joke on you. This is a religion behind this. A religion that they claim was born, at least that the Great Work Plan was born, 4,500 BC. And step by step, generation by generation, conquest by conquest, they've been taking over and taking over until there's a world empire, a global world empire run by an elite who will have their brains intact, their individuality intact. They'll have life extension and all that kind of stuff, which the rest won't have. Well, everyone else will have a, there'll be a Borg, a happy little Borg, you see. In fact, you can't really be happy or unhappy because you won't know what that is. And you won't know that even if you were unhappy, you couldn't even form the words that I am unhappy. There'll be no more you. And they can literally reprogram you every day to do the different tasks. You could be working in a pigsty, mucking a barn somewhere one day and helping to erect a skyscraper the next. It won't matter to you. And that's the universal one, the universal consciousness that they've pushed through the New Age movement for years steadily to get them all to go for this idea. Oh, we're all one. UN is the French word, for one. What a coincidence, eh? So this is where it's all heading. Planned long before I was born, long before every one of you was born. And they knew they had the technology a long time ago to bring it off, because these guys did not claim to use crystal balls. The high levels of science is never known to the public. At the low level of science, which is everything from the media to the scientific magazines, from professorships down, that's the lowest, bottom, antique level of science. Physics, chemistry, biology, etc. That's the lowest level, and the magazines that they churn out there, which make you think this is the latest, or they're just working towards this, that's rubbish. It's called research because it's research. The search has already been done before. Why else would you call it research? So that's the key to this agenda here. The new man to come, the 1,000 years of peace, you see, when you're all chipped, and no one can cause any problems. They won't need the media. They won't need all the sports teams. they won't need all the sports commentators to amuse us and pass our time for us so that we don't sit and think for ourselves. My God, that would not do. No, they won't need that anymore. It'll be one nice, silent, humming, buzzing little world, a quiet hum from the massive universal hive, the Borg ship. And the Borg ship, of course, as you see in the Star Trek movies, is the New Jerusalem. It's the square. It's a square ship. It's a cube, like a sugar cube. The hive. It's the ashlar, the perfectly squared stone, taken from the natural roundness and squared perfectly. That's what it's all, high Freemasonry. And they throw it in our face, and we pop bubble gum and chew and pop the popcorn, and we say, well, that was a good movie. What's next? Yawn. Because people today have a terrible time thinking for themselves. Brzezinski in The Grand Chessboard and in previous books has told us, in fact, one of his previous books, he mentioned that shortly the time will come when the average individual will be unable to think for themselves. They'll only be able to repeat what they've been downloaded with by the previous day's news. And we're seeing that today. People today can't see the trails above their head and the planes making the mess in the sky. The reason for it is they truly believe the media is doing their thinking for them. They've given over the right to think and perceive and conclude for themselves. They've given it over to the media. So if the media doesn't mention it, it can't be true. I see it, but it can't be true. So I'll take the media's version. It can't be true. Ancient trickery. It was used by priests in ancient times, the same technique. Get between the organ of perception and in between the brain to the conclusion, and you can warp it completely. And this has been a science which has been understood for thousands of years. So look at the symbols in the United States. Look at the symbol of Washington's biggest erection. And look what it comes over. It comes over the long pool of water below. Because the erection, which gives off the spirit of life, the semen, the fire from the top, that's how it's often symbolized. The one they put up for after they killed Kennedy actually has a simulated flame on top of it. And again, with a pool of water to reflect it, because that's the male and the female, the female's water, who could only reflect the light of her husband, you see. Because according to them, women have no soul. Their gift was given to them to reproduce their own kind, so they were called mother and matter and motra. Same thing. But these characters, these creeps, with the rather exaggerated phallic symbols, mean business. And if there are symbols all around you, right to the Oval Office, is that shadow is cast from that huge you-know-what, the egg, the cosmic egg, the egg where all things are birthed, ideas, the big idea of Bush Sr. All sides at the top are in on this plan. All sides. The Zionists at the top are in on it. Because when you join the high noble orders, your new family is the International Brotherhood of the elite. You leave your old family, your old kind, behind. You might still walk around as the head of a church or whatever, or an organization, but your other face is reserved for your true brotherhood, the international ones. You've been ascended up the ladder into godhood. So as they go towards this goal, we watch the death rate climbing through diseases, brand new diseases. One in two will have cancer, they say. My God, we just don't understand it, and we don't seem terribly bothered about it either, because it's caused, you see, through inoculations. It's pre-programmed through inoculations. Dr. Salk from the vaccine, the polio vaccine movement, said that himself. He said, yes, there were live simian viruses there. The simian 40 virus causes that cancer. That's its only function. So, we have these monsters guiding us, the good shepherds with their white coats on, smiling at us, doing exactly what Toynbee said, the professor from Oxford who taught Rhodes Scholars and gave lectures to the International Revolutionary Committees. He says, we always deny with our mouths what we do with our hands. And they're still doing it. They smile and they lie as they actually do what we suspect they're doing. That's the good shepherd. If he was a bad shepherd, we'd know what he was up to. He'd give it away. But these guys can smile and talk nicely to us and dress in their Masonic suits and ties with a little tow rope round their neck called a necktie. That's the Masonic outfit. That's his limit, you see. That's as far as he can go. And they run the system. And they hide behind cloaks of charity at the bottom. Albert Pike himself said, those at the bottom are the outer portico. They're basically no different than the profane. He said it's not necessary they understand the rituals they've been through or the symbols they've been shown. It's only necessary that they think they understand them. And so they're a good outer cover for charity work and a self-help group, a self-improvement group. You know, that type of thing. So I've got 5 minutes left, so I should mention that for the listeners, I've been on a couple of shows since. I've been on here last, and I've been on with Hetzibola Boa, who's got Eye on the Future. That's the internet site from Vancouver. Eye on the Future with Hetzibola, and I'm on with her again on March the 5th and March the 12th, and I may have some other ones coming up too. I believe too, I was also on the Cutting Edge with Daniel Ott, and that is available from Daniel Ott's website, Cutting Edge. You can download that for free at the moment, and you can also look into the website that's been put up for me by by Jason in the United States of America, who's still got some gonads, and that's that my website is Cutting Through the Matrix at www.cuttingthroughthematrix.com. And there's material on there which you can also download for free. For those who want the books I've written up explaining some of this occult masonry and the symbology behind it, the ritualism behind it, and including how your language is encoded, you can get them as well if you contact the website, or you can actually phone me, contact me. I think many of you already have my address. That's Alan Watt, W-A-T-T, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, P3E4N1. And they're $25 each, available in international postal order from your post office, international, and I'll get them out as soon as possible. Well, that's the 1 minute bell up, and I thank you for tuning in and listening to me on Sweet Liberty tonight. Thank you.